Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, pontificate, just shut up. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And I am better off because today is Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. It is show number 32, believe it or not. And I'm having nothing but a blast. Today's my anniversary. My partner, who happens to be male, and I have been together for a while. I'm not even going to tell you how many years because it seems like forever. But I only say that in the best possible way. So after this show, we're going to go out and celebrate our anniversary and have a wonderful time. And not only is it wonderful in my personal life, and I feel, well, let me wax a little bit mushy for a minute. I feel so blessed and so excited to be able to do what I love professionally, which is to talk to you and spout off about my opinions, and hopefully you'll spout off too about yours. But finding joy and happiness in my personal life was a very long time coming. And so I had to suffer the slings and arrows, as many single people do, by striking out more than once. And this was worth the wait. And when you find somebody who is just as wackadoodle as you are, it is a great joy. We have a wonderful time, and I want to publicly thank my partner, who happens to be male, for the joy he brings me in my life and makes it possible for me to be happy doing what I love and to have a life too. That never was much of a possibility in the past. I'm not saying I was never happy in my personal life, but it always seemed as if the two never went together. Either things were going great personally and not professionally, or vice versa. So to have both of those dishes spinning at the same time and to have somebody to share it with is really a blessing, because I know that not everybody gets that pleasure and that blessing. So I wish that for all of you, that you have happiness and contentment. Blah. Consentment too, but contentment in your personal life. So there you have it. And then there's lots to be happy about and to celebrate, much to celebrate. Yesterday was Israel's 70th anniversary, of the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. Actually, May 14th is the day that we, as Jews, you know that I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, we celebrated on May 14th as sort of in the American vernacular, but the Jewish calendar is much, much different. It's a lunar calendar. That's why there's always jokes. There's jokes about everything among Jews. We make very good comedians, because there's always a threat of tragedy in comedy, and there's a lot of other reasons too. But nonetheless, we have a lunar calendar, and so that's why there's a joke that says Hanukkah comes early this year, or Passover comes late this year, because we're always trying to compare it to the American calendar, or the Western calendar, and every year the holidays change just a little bit. So in the Jewish calendar, it may be very different, but May 14th is the day that is often celebrated as Israeli Independence Day. And on that day in 1948, the moment Israel declared her independence, she was attacked from all sides. So it wasn't exactly a very happy Independence Day. Israel had to fight for everything and every bit of freedom that she's had. And it seems as if our president has that in common. He has had to fight for every success that he's had, and he's having a boatload of them. Case in point is that every president, Republican and Democrat, since 1995, and the United States Congress, which passed a bipartisan bill called the Jerusalem Embassy Act, based on explicit findings written into the law, in which Congress, I won't read all this to you, but they decided that the United States Embassy in Israel should be established in Jerusalem no later than, are you ready for this? May 31st, 1999. And every president since then, and let's see, last time I checked, it's 19 years later, has promised during their presidential campaign to implement the law. But until yesterday, it hadn't been implemented. Yesterday, 23 years after that law was enacted, it became a reality, and Trump did it in 5 months. They thought they were going to have to build an embassy in Jerusalem, but instead they found a building and they decided to do it on the 70th anniversary of Israel's existence. Never in modern history has there been a country that has had to fight 70 years to declare its own capital. Why is that? Because they're constantly encountering resistance to their very existence. That really rhymes. Boy, that's poetic. I like that. So resistance to their existence. They've given land. They've given everything they could think of, even greenhouses. And what they got back was all they asked for. All Israel has usually asked for was its right to exist. Donald Trump would call that not a very good deal. If all you're asking for is your right to exist on the planet as a teeny weeny little postage stamp of a country called Israel, when there are, as Obama would tell you, 57 Arab states, maybe more now, it's not a really good deal. And guess what? Nobody ever asks anything of the Arab countries other than, please stop killing us. Please stop killing Jews simply because they're not Arab, simply because they're not Muslim. That is what they have asked for. So Donald Trump declared that the U.S. Embassy should be located in Jerusalem. And what did the so-called Palestinians do? They warred. They protested. They threw rocks. And they started riots. And the people that hate the Jewish state of Israel were quick to blame Israel and the United States for those Muslims, behavior. If I were Muslim, I'd be very insulted, because that's condescending, to blame others for your own behavior. If you want to be considered an equal, don't you want to be considered as one who's responsible for their own actions? Doug, do we have that tape by chance? Let's give it a shot. At the very last second, I had to play. Oh, we don't have the tape. Okay, well, then I'm just going to have to be forced to tell you all about it. Sometimes the audio does not cooperate. In my case, it was my fault. I sent an audio that was an over an hour video, and all we needed was 1 minute of sound. So I was moved when Benjamin Netanyahu, affectionately known by many as Bibi, at the very end, after he thanked all the proper people to thank for this momentous day, some call it simply a symbolic gesture. If it was so symbolic, why are the so-called Palestinians so angry about it? But nonetheless, Benjamin Netanyahu said a wonderful prayer that is said, a Hebrew prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Eloheinu melech haolam, v'higianu, l'higianu, and I'm not saying it right because I've heard it all my life, Lazman Hazeh, which is a prayer to say for a celebration, for a blessing. And it is an absolute blessing that Israel is standing up for its capital. So everything in the Middle East is controversial, but this is important. It leads people on Facebook. And by the way, if you'd like to join me on Facebook or go to my website or anything, Karen Cataline, just know how to spell my name and you'll be able to join me on Facebook. www.karencataline.com is my website. Facebook, same thing, just spell my last name. First name, Karen, K-A-R-E-N, last name, K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. And if you know how to do that, then you can find me on Facebook. Just identify yourself so I know that you're not a scammer, because I get those too. But on Facebook, I was asked, as I often am, do you think this is going to make the difference for American Jews? I'm asked that a lot because, as Rabbi Lappin, and I quote him frequently from Seattle, says, the very fact that 78% of Jews vote Democrat is proof positive that the myth of Jewish higher intelligence is purely a myth. So I had to say sadly that no, I don't think this will make a big difference. Non-Jews tend to make the assumption, a reasonable assumption, that American Jews would be for the state of Israel. They might actually care about their fellow Jews all around the world and in Israel. Unfortunately, that is a false assumption, especially when you're talking about particularly liberal, politically liberal Jews. The more politically liberal Jews get, unfortunately, the less they care about Israel and the Jewish people. I have given long two-hour speeches, and one day on this program, I might give an extended but not a two-hour speech about why Jews are so liberal. It is a complicated and, for some, a head-scratching kind of a phenomena, because Jews live a pretty conservative life. We are raised to care about education, to care about merit. You've heard the stereotypes of my son the doctor, my son the lawyer. That's because we care about accomplishing something in this life. That's a rather conservative view. We like property, private property ownership. Not all Jews are rich, as is the stereotype, but a lot of Jews care about property ownership. A lot of them are professionals and are accountants. I mean, you know, there's another stereotype, the bespeckled Jewish accountant. Could that happen? Yeah, that could happen. So why is it then that Jews tend to have such a love affair with liberalism? Well, you'll have to stay tuned because I can't get into a long dissertation. I've got other things to talk about. But unfortunately, as long as Democrats convince Jews that they are the party of a little guy, Jews tend to resonate with the little guy. It doesn't matter how much money a Jewish person makes. They still feel like a minority, which we are in this country. First off, the leftist view that they're the party of little guy is a total lie. It doesn't hold true. It doesn't hold water. It's also a lie that while Jew hatred has been unfortunately with us for thousands of years, that's another more than two-hour discussion, and not that I have the end-all be-all answer to it. It has been a lie that conservatives and Republicans had some sort of monopoly on Jew hatred. Well, the greatest amount of anti-Semitism happening today is coming from the left. That doesn't mean you don't find it elsewhere, but it is rather perplexing, isn't it, that the same party that talks incessantly and endlessly about racism, bigotry, homophobia, xenophobia, hate, 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 They are the party of hate when it comes to Israel and the Jewish people. You may have heard of BDS, which is the movement to divest from Israel because they feel so sorry for the Palestinians who throw rocks and bombs. This is a huge topic. I couldn't even take a little bite of a big issue because the Middle East is a huge topic, and I am no expert. In fact, when I started out, I didn't even have much of a bias towards Israel because I wanted to be independent-minded. I had to go there in person, put my feet in the dirt on the land to really understand it. And it wasn't because I'm Jewish that I understood it. It's because I went there. And that's the opinion that I now hold. I'm always willing to learn. But there's a lot more where that came from. I'm going to switch gears right now because there's another issue that I need to spout off about. Before I do that, let me give you the telephone number. And in our second half, I will be taking phone calls. I'm going to kind of spout off for the next 15 minutes. But if you have something to talk about, you can give me a call toll free. It's so funny we say that now. Everybody has toll free phones. Well, most people do, unless you have a rotary phone. Toll free, you can call 888-627-6008, or you can call 323-744-4831. We're here every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Eastern, and all across the country. And when this show, which we're doing live, leaves here, you never know where it's going to go. It just lives forever. That's what I love about the internet. So if you'd like to call and be immortalized on the internet forever after, well, you are anyway, because Google is watching you, then give me a call and we'll have a conversation. So here is one of the things that's been on my mind that I've been noticing. And that is that all of a sudden in my news feeds and when I look around for stuff to talk about, and boy, oh boy, talk about being blessed. We never have a shortage of things to talk about here on Spouting Off. The biggest challenge is trying to choose what to talk about because there is so much. Here we have, let me start over. Whenever I see a bunch of articles that come all at once that kind of have the same theme, I figure we're onto something and we're watching the Democrats strategize yet again to see how they can beat their nemesis, Donald J. Trump. And here is what I think is going to be happening and being set up for the midterm elections. Let me just first read you the title of some of these, and all three, just like this. After more than 2 years of hysteria, of absolute unhinged hatred for Donald Trump, there's no crime he isn't guilty of. There's no mental illness he doesn't suffer from. There isn't any evil that he's not guilty of. Here we have this. San Francisco ex-Mayor Brown, stop bashing Donald Trump. Well, I never thought I'd see that. Gosh, has hell frozen over? Here's another one, the New York Times op-ed. Liberals, you're not as smart as you think, and you're helping Trump win a second term. Wow, that's huge. Here, Washington Post, Ed Morrissey, Washington Post, even Dems bailing on the blue wave belief. Well, when you see three of anything, it's time to look for a pattern. And here's definitely a pattern. Some Democrat pundits are trying desperately to put the toothpaste back in the tube of the Trump hatred insanity. Some of them are trying to put, to coin another cliche, the genie back in the bottle. It's pretty tough to put the genie back in the bottle. And all these things come at once. The blue wave, you say? Well, when I heard the blue wave, when I heard this, which was about a year ago, I know there was some polling. There was some polling about this, but, you know, that and a cup of coffee won't even get you a nickel. I said that on purpose. The blue wave was about as the polling there was about as accurate as perhaps the polling that said Donald Trump had no chance of winning. If you create an echo chamber and you create something that you hope will happen, otherwise known as wishful thinking, and if you say it often enough, you hope that it's going to happen. You also hope that you're going to suppress the vote by the Republicans. That happens often. So I don't know that there ever was a blue wave. I think that the left and this article, one of these articles, I've got so much yellow highlighted, so much stuff, I don't know which to talk about first. This says that the left is so out front in some of our major media, from Hollywood to, the colleges and universities to the mainstream media, they have a giant mouthpiece. But that doesn't mean they've convinced anyone. As you may know, the media has a lower approval rating than even, I think, Congress. And they have a deadly low approval rating. So until or unless they can be the only ones to vote, and believe me, they're working on that, I don't think that they're connecting. As a matter of fact, among the many, many talents of Donald J. Trump, I think one of them is that he has an extraordinary ability to, I've said this many times, to expose the phony, to expose the lies. And what he does is he holds back and he lets people show who they really are. And everybody thinks that Donald Trump has lost it or Donald Trump has said horrible, awful, terrible things. But in fact, he says just the thing to make the left lose their minds and be willing to show us just how crazy they really are. I think they've gone off the deep end for a long time. And it is a blessing that they have been willing to show us how crazy some of them really are. I qualify that because because not all of them are, but unfortunately, Democrats march in lockstep more than Republicans do. And that creates a real problem because if you're inciting violence, if you're demagoguing an issue to the nth degree, then it's real easy to start riots and to start hatred and to start and incite the killing of cops, which I think is despicable and horrible because those cops protect the very victims that the left claims it cares so much about. Victims in the Black community, people that live in the inner city and are trying to get out. By the way, the inner city is controlled by Democrat machines. So I don't think you can get away with blaming conservatives. Because if it were up to conservatives, they would dismantle that whole machine. And of course, many Republicans are too weaselly to do that. So getting back to San Francisco Mayor Brown, this one I just loved. Willie Brown loved this. Now, keep in mind, San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown is no conservative. And he wrote the article called "Trump is more popular than Dems want to admit." Now, that is momentous. That's momentous. So you're not going to win back the House by making it all about him, Trump, he means. I loved this line. Like it or not, a significant number of Americans are actually happy these days. When I heard that, I laughed. I laughed uproariously. So a significant number of Americans are actually happy these days, and Democrats don't like it. That's basically what Willie Brown is saying. Doggone it, I can't stand when Americans are happy. And he goes on to say, they're making money. They feel safe. I would say safer. I would like to see that wall go up and then I'll feel safer. I'd like to see us enforce our borders, then I'll feel safer. And they agree with the president's protectionist trade policies. Actually, it isn't protectionist so much as it is, he has to editorialize, so much as it is a fair trade policy where we don't give away everything in the name of social Marxist globalism. His call for more American jobs, even his immigration stance. Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible. We can't have Americans happier. Let's face it. Democrats thrive on keeping Americans angry, hostile, and confused and in disarray. And they don't like it when, after all the disarray and confusion that they've been putting out there, Americans ain't buying it. They're looking at their paycheck, not just their paycheck. They're looking at some kind of clear throat, some kind of sanity when it comes to words coming from our leader, from the leader of the free world. It's not rocket science to say that you believe that America ought to protect itself, that America First policy is not racist, it's not xenophobic, it is nothing of the sort. America Policy First simply says that if we don't look after our own backyard, there is not another country who's going to do so, particularly since America has been looking after many other countries' backyards for a long time. The social Marxist globalists want to cut America and Israel down to size. In fact, some cases, they hate and want to destroy America and Israel. Again, a topic for another show. But this is the lie. The Democrats merely disagree. Their policies seem to suggest that they only support things that will be harmful to America, not helpful. So that's the reason the average leftist progressive is unhappy that America is doing well. In fact, when Obama was president, they delighted in being able to explain away why America was doing so poorly while Obama was in office. I mean, he made a lot of good speeches, but nothing happened. There was more racial strife than ever, as you may know. And the dirty little secret is that Obama incited a lot of it. Obama wanted Americans to be in disarray because he was interested in that social Marxist globalism. It is a difference in values on some of the greatest levels ever. It is a large-scale values difference. And until we get that, it's going to be difficult, I think, for us to recognize what we're up against here. I think one of the things that the grassroots conservatives are so frustrated about is that Trump has also exposed establishment Republicans as well as leftist progressives. He has exposed that their rhetoric doesn't match their actions. And I've talked a lot about that before. So who does Trump represent? Who is Trump trying to please, if you will? The folks that brung him to the dance, the people that voted for him. And we're the only ones who are really out there sticking up for Donald Trump. And so I'm delighted that Democrats are going to try to put that genie back in the bottle. But I got news for you. When you create a monster, it's pretty darn difficult to put that monster back behind bars or a cage or stick the toothpaste back in the tube, whatever analogy you want to use. So it'll be interesting to see how they backpedal some of the ugly hatred that they've been putting out. things like Kathy Griffin and her bloody head, her severed head of a president of the United States. They just never have to be held accountable to the same standards we are. If we disagreed with Obama, we were racists. If we said, you know, I don't like Obama's policy on spending, $878 billion paying off to his friends, you were a racist if you disagreed with that. So let's watch and see how interesting it's all going to be. We have to take a break. You're listening to BBS Radio Station 1. I'm Karen Cataline, honored and pleased to be your host. Here on Spouting Off, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joy, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on why the Constitution limits government.
James Madison writes in Federalist 51 that men are not angels. Their passions and self-interest often get the better of their reason and sense of justice. So we need government in order to protect our rights against those who would take them away. But for the same reason, Madison writes, government must be limited, because people in government have passions and interests too. Many Americans today forget this. Supposing that we can do away with constitutional limits on government, supposing that the unelected bureaucrats being put in charge of our health care, for example, will rule as if they are angels. If Madison was correct about human nature, this is foolish and dangerous.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Welcome again to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and you're listening to BBS Radio Station 1. I have such a good time doing this every week. It's such a pleasure to be with you. And we have a caller. Caller, please say hello. Can you hear me okay? Welcome to Spouting
you.
Off. Yeah, well, good. Excellent.
You know what, Karen? We know each other, of course.
Wiley!
Everything, yeah,
I
Wiley.
I know you, Wiley.
Yeah. Everything you've been saying for the last few minutes is just terribly confusing. Well, as it should be. And I have this to say about that. We know that... that everything is pretty much connected to everything else, and just coming in over the news wires is the nearsighted fat kid in Korea and his latest maneuvers, and it is tied into what you were just talking about. the latest maneuver is he's canceled a big meeting with South Korea, and he's threatening to cancel the summit with us because we're having military exercises with South Korea somewhere over there.
Oh.
Now, also, at the same time, came in, and this actually came in yesterday, is that he's dismantling their nuclear test site ahead of these meetings. Now, have you got any opinion on how that all ties together?
I have a feeling you do, so I'm going to let you run with it.
Well, of course I do.
You ask me these rhetorical questions all the time, Wiley. Wiley Fox. Yes, go ahead. You tell me.
Here's what I think. I think the nuclear test site is so toxic that they have to destroy it immediately, regardless. So they just are using it as a photo op for the media.
Wow.
I read a few weeks ago or whenever it was that they'd blown the top off of their test site mountain over there, and there's a lot of radiation leakage. And so it occurs to me that the only reason they would shut that place down is not because they want peace on Earth and goodwill towards men, is because it's so toxic it's going to poison their entire country. So they're using it as a media thing. Now, when you put that together with this canceling of the meetings and because of the military exercises, what that does is they're going to cancel the meetings, and, of course, it's going to be Trump's fault. And so, and then now we bring into everything you just been saying about the left and Trump. And I don't know how this is all hooked up together.
I'm confused. See, that's where you came in. You said you were confused. What?
Yeah.
Well, whose motive is it to blame Trump for what? The cancellation of the meeting?
Yeah. Korea is going to blame Trump.
Are you saying that the left is in cahoots with North Korea? You couldn't possibly
No. I'm not saying that. What
Good,
I'm saying
that makes
is
any sense.
That Korea is going to blame Trump, but also the left is going to blame Trump.
Hold on. Let's slow down here. Now, as far as the latest thing, I did see that on Drudge, but at press time, I didn't have time to really, really go through it. So that's wonderful. You're breaking news here on Spouting Off. However, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question that you can actually answer, so then I can tell you what I think. That's how we do these things, you know? And that is, what do you think brought, if it did, Kim Jong-un to the table in the first place that no other president has even come remotely close to? What do you suppose brought him to the table?
Desperation.
Okay,
I think their whole island, their whole peninsula is going radioactive, and I think China pushed on them.
Well, now, do you have you been watching this long enough to know this for a fact, or is just your hunch?
Well, no, you never know it. You don't know it for a fact.
You just have a hunch that they're in trouble nuclear-wise, and that's why they're coming around?
I do. And they're in trouble food-wise, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That we
and
know.
And they're just generally in trouble. And so they're using this as an opportunity to try and get out of a little bit of trouble like they always do.
Okay, so
I don't trust them at all.
Go ahead. You think what?
No. I lost it.
Okay. Here's what I think you have to throw into the mix, and that is that many presidents, just like with the embassy I was talking about earlier, have had the opportunity, at least, to deal with North Korea one way or the other, and the old cliche, they just kept kicking the can down the road. They didn't do anything, or they did the classic establishment thing is, it's too complicated. Now, for all this to be happening now with a Donald Trump is too much coincidence for me. I believe, and I've told you this before, and I want to tell you for our listeners, among Donald Trump's many, many skills and talents, and he did write a book about it, and of course he tried to trash that as well as everything else, is that he's a master negotiator. What does a master negotiator do? Well, they appeal to the person's self-interest. They try to find the weaknesses of the person, find out what motivates that person, and they try to offer them some semblance of that so that they can get what they want. And Donald Trump is the first person in decades and decades and decades, I'd say, to take a dictator like Kim Jong-un, who's massively unprepared. He only became a dictator because of his birth, really, to offer him either survival or annihilation. And a narcissistic dictator usually wants to keep power and wants to stay alive. So the whole thing about the big button, I got a bigger button than you, and the Democrats lost their minds. Well, that's how you deal with someone. You show them you got a bigger button. So I think that Trump is calling the shots here. And Kim Jong-un is simply acting like a spoiled child. We'll see whether this meeting actually takes place. But I think things are looking good still. I'm not ready to throw out the tyrant with the bathwater, although that would be nice.
Well, I have to agree with that. So far, you know, as we all say, we don't know what'll happen this afternoon.
It'll be fun to watch, though.
It will
What's
be fun
your
to watch.
Thoughts
I have one
about?
Short, I have one short response. Is you
sure.
just said something about all these presidents for the past few years, past number of years, many years, have had opportunities to deal with this, and they haven't dealt with it.
Yeah.
And just a few minutes ago, you said the same thing about the embassy in Jerusalem.
Correct.
You said it took the United States 20 years to act on that law that was already
23 to be exact. Yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah. And so the connection there is you're dealing with a bunch of incompetent presidents, apparently.
Yeah. In some cases, I would say you're right, Wiley, but when it comes to the president before this one, our previous president, number 44, I could say his name. It's not that horrible. Barack Hussein Obama. I think you've given me wonderful opening to say something I've wanted to say for a long time. If I haven't already, you never know, is that people are being overly generous to say that Barack Hussein Obama was simply incompetent.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think that you don't give boatloads of cash to your enemy that threatens to annihilate you and annihilate your friends. And you don't do a deal like the Iran deal, which was atrocious, horrible, and awful. If you do not have some animosity for the country that you claim to be representing. This issue is what has concerned and scared me for a very long time. And that is that nobody was willing to say that Obama did a lot of this on purpose, which is a perfect segue just to bring in the topic that the more we scratch the surface of the Mueller thing and the selling our uranium to the Russians and all the rest of that, all those roads lead to Obama and Obama-appointed people, all of it. So he wasn't incompetent. I wish he would have been more incompetent. He wouldn't have done such a good job of putting us close to the edge. What do you think about that, Wiley Fox?
I think that you know that I agree with all of that. And I guess what all I have to say about it, I was probably using a non-standard definition of incompetent, and I'll officially retract that word and figure out another time something to replace it with.
Okay.
Because I agree with everything you just said. It's true.
Well, then what good are you?
Well, I know. You knew that.
No, you've got lots of good points. That's why we used to do this all the time, talk about some of this stuff. Because you know that what we're talking about, people are talking about at the dinner tables. Hopefully They're not killing each other on Thanksgiving. But this is, hopefully, for people who follow the news, some of what they talk about. Here, let me run this past you, okay? Since I'm going to keep you until, for another 10 minutes. If that's okay with you, is that okay?
Yeah, I'm not important enough to have anything to do right now, so.
Okay. All right. Well, one of these things that was going around the internet on Facebook, and I know you, and you detest Facebook, you hate Facebook with a purple passion. So this was a great one, and it was just a couple days ago. It said, Trump's week in review. This was last week. Check. Secured. No, let me do it the other way around. Secured release of three American hostages. Check. Captured top five most wanted leaders of ISIS. Check. Ended the Iran nuclear deal. Check. Set date for meeting with Kim Jong-un. Check. Now we got another chapter in that story. Black unemployment rate at an all-time low at 6.6%. Check. The unemployment rate is the lowest since 2000. 3.9%. Check. Hello?
Yeah. But that's all. That's all. Doesn't matter because of being a misogynist pig, you know.
Well, and he is a racist because, and don't forget that he is a Jew hater and is practically, God forbid, like Hitler. He's so hateful towards Jews. That's why he was the first president after 23 years to relocate the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, which no other president had the guts or the courage to do.
I can see that there must be an ulterior motive there somewhere.
Yeah, right. Well, part of the thing when you read off just what he did in 1 week is how much media coverage did you hear about any of these things? Did you hear a big hoopla, hoop-de-doo about three American hostages? My favorite, and it was brilliant, and I have seen very little coverage on it, captured top five most wanted leaders of ISIS. What I want to know, and I read that Donald Trump Jr. actually tweeted this out after I thought it, which was, they must be the same five that Obama let go.
Yeah. I don't know. But sure, why not?
Yeah. Well, so did you see, you're a very, very knowledgeable and well-read human being. So did you read very much coverage on the three American hostages or the five most wanted leaders of ISIS were captured? Did you hear about that at all or read it?
I didn't. No, of course.
Now,
that's really
amazing.
The hostages that were released, they really don't count because they had Korean names anyway.
Yeah, well, for our listeners who are wondering if he's serious, he's a sarcastic curmudgeon. And, you know, I have to say that because, you know, you are. Now, that was interesting to me when you saw those pictures, and it was done in the dead of night. And since Donald Trump usually only sleeps about 4 hours a night anyway, it wasn't a big deal for him to stay up. Now, Melania, just getting ready for surgery, she probably didn't want to get up that early, but she did.
The surgery went fine, by the way.
Yes, it did. I read it did. So the three American hostages, it doesn't surprise me that these were Korean Americans, because clearly Kim Jong-un was being a little vindictive about Korean Americans and keeping them longer than anybody else, don't you think? And for undisclosed crimes. There weren't any crimes. People kept wanting to know what. And it's like, well, you know, when you got a dictator, he can do whatever the heck he wants to do. Right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
So, Wiley, we have about, I don't know, five more minutes or so to kick around issues of the day. Is there anything else that's been driving you crazy that you want to spout off about?
Well, yeah, but I don't have the time. Before the stuff came over the news feed, I wanted to talk a little bit about Gina Haspel, but there doesn't seem to be enough time at this point.
No, give us your thoughts. Gina Haspel, just for our listeners who may or may not be following this, is the nominee by Donald Trump to head the CIA. She has enormous background and history, and she seems to be extraordinarily qualified, and the left doesn't like her. So go ahead, tell us why.
That's pretty much it, except I watched the hearings. I watched the early hearing for the confirmation hearing, and I continually get amazed, even though I know not to, at the behavior of the Democrats on the on the Intelligence Committee, with the questions they asked her. They started almost every one with, "Do you feel or do you believe?" Now, and one that sticks out in particular is they asked her if Trump ordered them to reinstate waterboarding, would she do that? Now, this doesn't seem important, except it's just an indication of the behavior of these folks. Is that number one? She serves at the pleasure of the president, so she would either do it or she would quit her job. Those are the only two choices. But I don't see what any of that has to do with a confirmation hearing. She's been endorsed by everybody in the intelligence community, and senators and people voted for her.
Well, that might be my first concern, considering what the intelligence community has been up to. But that's a different issue.
Don't yank my tail. You know what I mean.
I do.
Yeah, and so now I lost it. Oh well.
Yes, you did. Gina Haspel.
You know where I was going.
Her. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that to you.
No.
She was, are you still there? Hello?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So they're getting her on torture. She serves at the pleasure of the president. I was going to say, well, we can advance the conversation a little bit, because I was going to say, it's another classic example of leftist selective outrage and situational ethics. You know, you cannot question a woman because she's a woman, don't you know? She's a woman. That didn't seem to bother them during this hearing, did it? I wonder why that is.
Well, they figured she was incapable of giving any answers because she's a woman, after all.
Let me be contrary for a moment. I think that, which I'm never contrary, I think that the groups that Democrats believe they own, you know, like female and Jewish, so I'm two of them right there, probably more I could think of. We're like their mascots, okay? Jewish, you know, we're mascots to them. And there's some Jews in leadership in the Democrat Party, some of them atrociously awful. I think that they are, and blacks, of course, are particularly threatening when they are conservatives. They go after blacks and Jews and women conservatives more than any other groups, because they would be an example of, independence of thinking. They can't have that. You're not allowed. No. You're not allowed to have independence of thinking. And God forbid, if Oprah Winfrey were a conservative, she'd be speaking for the fact that she's make millions of dollars as a capitalist. We can't have that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just finished. She must have liberal guilt. And as long as she has liberal guilt, feigned liberal guilt, I might add, then she's acceptable to the left. But if she were conservative,
she's even got white guilt.
What?
She's even got white guilt.
How do you figure that?
I don't know. It just felt like it to me.
It just seemed like. Listen, Wiley, you have been a delight. It is a momentous day, my anniversary, that Wiley, who, by the way, for our listeners, is not my partner. Okay. He's a good friend who sometimes likes to spout off, which you can do. We're going to wrap this up, Wiley. Thank you for being with us. You can spout off next week or almost any week. by calling 888-627-6008. I want to thank you all for being with us. Thanks to Doug, my producer. A special thank you to my partner, who happens to be male, who's a multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.